Hello, everybody, and welcome back to OMB Reviews. I am the critic who is a cynic. How is everyone doing this evening? Happy and blessed Tuesday, and welcome back to the channel. Welcome specifically to episode 493 of the Welcome to Asgard podcast, where tonight we're going to talk about how right now there is this weird debate going on Twitter specifically, and it's over why it seems the film The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is failing and whether or not it has anything to do with the comments made by Alan Ritchson. Now, if you have followed me on social media, especially on Twitter, you know that I look to this and think it is silly to think that the comments made by Alan Ritchson made any major impact on the box office for this specific movie. And I'll try to make my case for that tonight. Just kind of amazing, though, how many people honestly believe that it has made a difference, that the only reason why this film is flopping is because of the comments made by Alan Ritchson, and that there's no other reasons as to why this is happening, or at the very least, that it's a prominent reason. Now, as someone who loves covering box office, loves talking about box office and movies in general, I looked at that comment, and I think it's incredibly short-sighted. I think that it's also incredibly ignorant of the reality of just how the box office works. And the old adage of go woke, go broke is absolutely true when we're dealing with specific changes within specific franchises. But when it comes to a film like The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, when it comes to a Guy Ritchie film and a Guy Ritchie audience, it really isn't going to move the needle, if anything. I mean, there are enough people who are trying to say, well, there's so much anecdotal evidence, right? I've had 20 people tell me, okay. So maybe you have enough to say $100,000 worth of tickets, $500,000. Let's go up to $1 million. That would be incredibly high, and I wouldn't say it's even that much, but let's assume, right? You've affected $1 million of opening weekend tickets specifically. In the grand scheme of things, though, that does not make much of a difference at all. So we'll talk about that. I'll give some more information as to why I hold to the views that I do and how there is a lot of data to back up what I am saying in regards to this. As you always know, I try to always bring the receipts. I always try to keep things real with you guys because ultimately I saw the film. I saw The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare and it was okay. It was fine. As I put in my review over on Criticlist, it's a rad movie, but it's definitely lower tier Guy Ritchie films recently. I thought that the movie he had last year, Operation Fortune, was a much better film. It's a very similar structure. Interestingly enough, also a similar cast in certain regards too. But that one's a much more fun movie. I would much rather watch Operation Fortune again than ever watch The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare again. And I still had fun. Often, in fact, in The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. It just doesn't have that type of sticking comedy. So we'll talk about the movie as well, and also any other general box office information. Before going any further, though, please make sure you smash that like button, light up that fire button over on Odyssey, and smash the rumble button as well. Let's say hello to the people in the chat. So, of course, it wouldn't be a typical stream if my OBS software did not crash on me, and sure enough, it did. Good old OBS. I guess it's because when I get home from school, I open it up trying to get everything set up so that I can just, you know, go ahead and just click start. And I'm wondering if maybe it being on for a certain length of time is making it more predisposed to having these issues. I don't really know what's going on. I just know that since OBS updated, like the last major update, I think update 30 or something, I've been having nothing but issues with it crashing. I've never had OBS crash on me as much as it has been now. Now, luckily, it hasn't been during filming. It's been as soon as I start a live stream or trying to open the software, right, or closing it. So luckily, it's not been any of those in-between moments. It's still annoying, though, and it obviously still leaves some anxiety on my part. Before going to the chat, though, I did post this earlier. So I finally did it, guys. I finally created the early 2025. Crazy to think of 2025. But the early Raven nominations form. So if you, over the course of the year, have movies, actors that you think are worthy of, you know, things like Shill of the Year or Best Movie of the Year, Worst Movie of the Year, things like that, there is now this form that you can enter in. And I have three potential nominations you can make per form. You can also do the form multiple times over as well. Please use that, of course, responsibly. But you can basically choose any three categories from the Ravens and make nominations. And you can, if you want to make more than that, you can, of course, again, do another form, do different categories. I tried to make it so that you could do more than one, but I also didn't want to make it so filled with spots that it became too much. So I tried to keep it as condensed as I possibly can. So far, four people have been putting nominations in, so it's working, which is great. And I'm very excited. So this is basically, for anyone wondering what this is about, so we do the Raven Awards show here. It's our Oscars boycott show. And one of the things that we oftentimes run into, one of the problems we run into, is as we are getting ready to take in nominations, official nominations, people oftentimes just forget some of the better things of the year, some of the worst things of the year. And so I came up with this idea that we just take in nominations as the year goes on, because then that means when we get to the official nomination process, I can then pull together all of the nominations that have been put in over the course of the year and say, hey, by the way, here's a short list of things that have been getting nominations over the year. And then you can decide, okay, I want to formally nominate this movie. I want to formally nominate this film. I think that will help out with the process, maybe also make more people likely to make nominations, because that's also one of the issues there has not been a lot of people who have made, typically make nominations. But anyway, wanted to put that out there. You can find that in the earlier part of the chat. There is a link to a Google form. Don't worry, you do not have to put your email in if anyone is worried about Google Gmail tracking kind of thing. Luckily, though, being prepared, as I mentioned, OBS crashed. I opened up a separate window with my social stream ninja, which has all of my chats together, and it looks like all of them have been saved, and I think I can click on these and actually pull up the chat just the same. Boom, there it is. Look at that. Be prepared. All right, Sahil at 543. What's going on, good sir? Saying Spider-Man 2 beats the competition with only 500 screens. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, for anyone maybe not following, there's been a re-release of Spider-Man 2, and it is, it's doing okay. It's doing okay. Let me see if I can get the official numbers up on that, because I think it just released, right? So the Monday numbers for Spider-Man 2, $808,000 at 467 screens. That's $1,700 per screen. And I love the numbers.com especially, because it always does a really... I love how it always has the... hey, by the way, this is when it was at last out in theaters. So 7,237 days in release. 7,000 days in release. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But hey, the number two movie on Monday, because I don't think it was out before that. Again, it's a very weird release. I don't know if it's because we're now officially, yesterday was officially the anniversary of the movie or what have you. But still, the fact that on that Tuesday, it was able to beat out Abigail, Godzilla X Kong, Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. I keep wanting to say the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen every time. Spy X Family Code, Kung Fu Panda 4. Again, a film that's been out for 7,237 days. It also shows you this, the state of modern movies, state of modern media. People really want the classics. They don't like all this new stuff. And I see several reasons. Hedge Hobbit was here early. What's going on? Saying, my reasons why it flopped. It looks like a streaming movie. Nazis are boring and overused villains. It's a movie with a silly name. Again, that can only really be part of it, though. I think that there is something to that for sure. Because the quality of the movie is absolutely one where it's one that's worth streaming on a random day. It's not worth going to see in theaters. So really, it's just the quality of the movie, Hedge Hobbit, ultimately. Because, it's the quality of the movie, but then also it's also Guy Ritchie. Guy Ritchie does not really have that much of a reach. Like, I'm a huge Guy Ritchie fan. I love a lot of the movies that he makes, but we have to also be honest that his films really aren't the biggest when it comes to box office, right? And that's one of the arguments that I'm actually going to be trying to make as to why anyone trying to say that all of this news with this Alan Ritchson guy is just, again, it's nonsensical to even say that. In fact, it's made me want to actually put in another comparison because, you know, just to really cover all of the bases, as it were. Because, again, I think the box office is absolutely going to speak for itself that he's not known for being a huge box office draw. He's known for making very solid movies. He has a very passionate fan base, but that's only a part of the equation, right? You can't have these movies now, especially post-COVID, that cost as much as he oftentimes spends on them with the very small passionate fan base that he has, at least theatrically. Again, post-theatrically, that's a whole other story. That goes in a bit over my own capabilities, but yeah, so I think you have some points there. All right, let's see. Snortapoopus Cuber says, hello, humans and other quitteth. What's going on, Snortapoopus? Glad to have you in the chat saying hello there. Master of Gaming in the chat early as well. What's going on? Saying, I wish people would have given Cabrini, Ordinary Angels, The First Omen, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare and Civil War a chance in theaters. I agree with some of them that you've mentioned there. So obviously Cabrini I thought was very, very good. But let's be honest, the issue with Cabrini was that it cost way too much. I mean, it's a beautiful movie and it's well made, but I don't see $50 million on the screen. I'm just going to be honest. Ordinary Angels, I was not able to see. I've heard good things about First Omen. I have no interest in that stuff whatsoever. So if you enjoyed it, great. I don't feel like I've heard overwhelmingly positive things about it. Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is a decent movie. It's fine, but it's not one that really deserves a lot of money, to be perfectly honest. I like Guy Ritchie films, but this one to me is not really all that good. So I don't think that one deserves much money either. Civil War, I do think, deserves one, because I think so many people have already prejudged that based off of the really bad opinions of some people. Because it's one thing if you listen to someone like Critical Drinker and you take his word very seriously, because he at the very least is able to say, all right, here's some of the objectively good things in the movie, because there are objectively good things. And then here's the reasons why I personally don't like it. It's like, okay, I can respect that, right? And so you'll know what appeases to you and what doesn't. But people who are like, yeah, I don't want to see that woke nonsense and blah, 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 politics, politics. I'm like, bro, you're listening to way too many people with political biases that they brought into the movie that really aren't present in the movie itself. So, oh boy, Hedge Hobbit. And Odin just hates fun movies because he was brainwashed in film school. I hope that you're being sarcastic, Hedge Hobbit. Yes, when I was studying Hedge Hobbit, when I was studying and getting my bachelor's in communications film criticism, yes, I just hate fun movies. That's why, you know, I can't stand Godzilla X Kong, you know, because it's just a fun movie and I just don't like fun. Bro, hope you're being sarcastic. Really, really hope that you're being sarcastic. There are tons of big, silly movies that I enjoy. The difference is that I at least can admit when the movies that I enjoy that are really big and stupid are big and stupid. In the case of where Godzilla, people are again saying it's fun, and then they also then try to extend that out to say that somehow it's a good film, and that's just not actually the case. But yes, when I went to film school, I really hope that's sarcastic, because that would make that a very funny comment. $18 a ticket, nobody's giving movies a chance at the box office. Yes. On average, though, $13, $14. So not $18, but I do see your point for sure. And I've made that point previously as well. I think tickets are definitely a lot higher. All right. From this point forward, again, make sure you tag at Odin. At the very beginning of your comment, at Odin, let me know you're trying to get my attention. Unless, of course, you're a member on the channel, in which case you don't have to worry about that, but it does help. All right. Print screen at 722. What up, chat? What is going on? Hail to you. Thanks for being here. We got Midwest Sports Net in the chat. Mr. Roy, who's a member. What's going on, Mr. Roy? Always glad to have you here. I am JMS. What is up, brother? Hail to you. We got Wendy Hunter. Hello, Wendy. Welcome back. Glad to have you back here in the chat. All right, now I think the chat I've caught up with now. Boom. Awesome. All right, I am JMS727. What's going on, brother? Thank you for saying hi first. Thank you, or at least for saying sup. I'll take that as a hi. How much do you think Deadpool 3 will make opening weekend? I honestly have no idea. It's way too far out at this point. The box office is incredibly unpredictable. I think the most recent trailer was a lot of fun. I'm going to be honest there. I did see the trailer. And I just think that Ryan Reynolds is a very good advocate for movies. I think that he is one of those persons where, you know, in the era that we live in today, where actors really do not determine box office nearly as much, right? I think it's going to be relevant to our discussion on Gentleman Warfare, but also in a general sense, right? Because we've already seen this. Just because you have a big actor in your movie doesn't mean people are actually going to go see it. But there are some actors who we could absolutely say do have more of an impact on box office than other actors do, right? I think that there is basically like a built-in audience for a Tom Cruise movie. It's not as much as it used to be, but it's still built in. I think that Ryan Reynolds is very similar. For instance, Detective Pikachu would not have made as much money as it did if Ryan Reynolds was not voicing Pikachu. The film also wouldn't be worth seeing unless he was in it. Again, I enjoy the movie. It's a lot of fun. But even my wife and I, you know, after the second time we watched it more recently, in the last month, we were like, yeah, you know what? This really wouldn't work if Ryan Reynolds wasn't the voice, if he wasn't in the film. He's the one that makes the lines funny, because he's got that great personality. And I'm sure he also added his own flair to the lines that he was being given. So that's really an unknown factor then, right? I did find, because again, unfortunately, Box Office Pro, as you all know, I've been using that one for a long time to keep track of box office stuff. I don't know what's going on. They've gone downhill. They've stopped doing their charts like they used to do. For like their projections and such, and even the very passionate user base over there has been calling them out, saying, "What in the world's going on with y'all?" So the best that I can do is I found a post. Oh, let's see. So take it with a gigantic grain of salt. This is from like several months ago, and it's apparently using long tracking by Quorum, which is based on surveys, which is like general interest, awareness, things like that, and. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but y'all can actually double check this in real time as I am reading it out loud. But based on the surveys, this had been predicting that Kung Fu Panda 4 that already came out was to open higher than 44 million. Inside Out 2, Despicable Me 4 were projected to be higher than 44 million. I'm pretty sure that both of those did much better than that. Despicable Me 4, or sorry, at the very least Kung Fu Panda 4 did better than that. Deadpool 3 is the only film in this tracking window that is projected to open to over $100 million with high confidence, while Dune 2 and Furiosa both score much lower than $77 million, their group's average. So I'm wondering if this, because it's Quorum, I'm wondering if this is based off of what people think the movie's going to make, less so than anything else. Let me see if I read their methodology. It says, this table on page 2 shows the library films in each group. For example, there are 17 animated films. The average opening is 47 million. Hold on one second. This table sorts all films in one of five buckets, from high end to low end, based on its tracking in the four key metrics: awareness, interest in a theater, pay to see. Each film receives a 1 to 5 diamonds based on its performance in each of the Quorum's metrics relative to other films in the same group. Movies in the high-end category are likely to open above the group average in red. Films in the low-end category are likely to open well below the group average. Okay, so this is all, again, this is all based off of just general metrics. So also, like, this is apparently saying that Beetlejuice 2, $77 million is what was projected based off of this analysis. Quiet Place Day 1, $17 million. Inside Out 2, $44 million. Oh, I mean, I'm going to be honest, like, I'm not taking these numbers seriously at all, because these are all just, again, from months ago based off of mere conjecture. But it is interesting to still see, like that long ago, what was the interest level? The fact that Deadpool 3 is at $147 million, and then Inside Out 2 is only at $44 million. Despicable Me 4 was at $44 million. It just shows you how little interest there is in Inside Out 2. So if anything, it speaks to that. More so than anything else. So that's interesting. But according to that chart, they think $147 million is what they expect. They were also projecting $52 million for Madam Web. So again, gigantic grain of salt take these numbers with. But they say $147 million. Again, based off of that, $100 million wouldn't surprise me. But at the same time, it's way too early to predict it. But still, box office subreddit, Sometimes has some useful information in there, and I've actually never heard of that before. So, yeah, might have to look further into that bit of information. Let's see. Kimberly G. Killian. Killian Shadow Cat. What's going on? Kimberly G. saying, good Tuesday evening to all. Howdy Odin, the mods in the chat. Absolutely. Hail to you. We got Bruce hanging out in the chat as well. Hail to you, Bruce. CM Chunk. Icthulu, what's up? Hope you're all having a great day today. Shame that we are watching in real time the death of a cultural hallmark with the way theaters are losing more and more ticket sales. Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've been talking about for a long time. I'm actually going to be writing an article probably sometime tomorrow, tomorrow or Thursday, and it's been covered already, and I know that Valiant Renegade, shout out to him, he covered this today too, that the budget for Ant-Man 3 actually came out updated, and it actually cost closer to, what, $300 million? Which means that the movie actually lost like $250-ish million. So yeah, let's just say what was already really bad for Disney and was already a really bad year for Marvel last year got even worse. And that's just the first domino to fall, right? There's more movies that came out in the UK that we're waiting on tax returns for, right? We're waiting on that further information. And I'm sure a lot of the budgets are going to end up getting ballooned, right? As more information comes out. We're gonna find that out very quickly. But the other thing too, and I can say this as someone who I'm a stockholder of AMC, Diamond Hands, as it were. But as you all know, I've always made this very very transparent that I own AMC stock because I used to work with AMC and I like AMC in general. But it's not been a very good investment whatsoever. At the time that I got my shares, it was $6.47 a share, and it has now gone down to $3.37 a share, and I've got 1.92 shares. So yeah, not good at all. Massive drop there. But yeah, so you see it not only in the number of theaters, not only in the number of ticket sales, not only in the number of box office, especially compared to the previous years, but the market too, right? I don't know how they're able to survive with stocks that low, and it just continues to get lower. My hope is that with the summer coming up, that increases, but I don't have a lot of high hopes. Box office really is, down in so many ways. We got the man with the orange hat. What's going on, good sir? He is the King Mod here, so behave or he will lay down his axe upon you. Yes, please don't spam either. Luke Zilla, what is going on? Kimberly G says, gas here is $3.57 a gallon. People can't afford luxuries like theater trips. This is also very true. There's also probably a big reason as to why animated films are doing so poorly. Because whereas before, it was a good activity to take your family out of the house to all go see a movie together, you used to already be spending at least $100, right? When you add in tickets and popcorn and drinks and I want this and I want that, maybe even a couple $100s. And that was back then. Now you're talking about like a small fortune just to go out to the movies with your kids. And just to go out to the movies as a family. So it's no surprise to me, right, to see the numbers continuing to drop. And that's why when you have films like this Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which is mediocre, that's not going to bring a lot of people out in the first place. You add on top of that, and again, I'll give some credence here, when you add on top of that one of the actors saying some really stupid things, that is going to keep people away. Now, those people really wouldn't have made that much of a difference at the bottom line, but it's still tickets, right? It's still money. Carl Jacobs, what's going on? Working late. Working hard or hardly working? King Adremsky says, anything planned for your 500th live cast? A speech, perhaps? Cake, maybe? Cake. Cake sounds delicious. I don't know if I'll be able to actually, make a cake, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe there'll be at least a giveaway on the 500th episode. I don't know. I am not sure. Let's see. Rob D says, hello, Odin. It seems to me like the box office for the past 24 years has been 2000s decade of franchise films, 2010s decade of superhero movies, 2020s decade of flops so far. I would say that's some pretty fair analysis. We really are. It's interesting how we were in the era of the superhero movie for so long, and I think some people suspect we might be entering into the era of the video game movies, or the at the very least, like some of the more obscure you know, action figure stuff, like the era of Mattel and the era of Nintendo, right? With Super Mario Brothers doing so well, with Barbie doing so well. So maybe that's the next era that we're entering into. But yeah, I think even though you might have some outliers in that, in those specific fields and in those specific genres, I think overall, yeah, I would say that you're probably spot on that we're really entering into that era, the era of streaming and the era of flops coinciding. See, Orange Hat says, I think people are waking up to what actors are saying, that it may move the needle slightly, but not by millions. Yeah, I think we've gotten so used to it because someone in the comments on that tweet did make a good point too. And again, I totally agree with it, that we become so entrenched in our bubble sometimes that we don't realize the world is not what we think it is, right? The bubble that we're in makes us think, oh man, everyone hates this. Everyone knows about this, right? Most people don't, right? Most people are very ignorant of what's going on. You don't have a film like Barbie doing as well as it is unless you have a lot of ignorant people. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. And someone else made that point too, saying, what made the most money last year? And I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Again, wokeness can only ever negatively impact franchises that are either predominated by or have a large portion of their audience being people that don't want that, people that are sick of that, people that reject it outright. So that's why what we've seen with Star Wars is what happened. First movie, over $2 billion. Second movie, about half the audience. By the end of it, barely a billion. And even then, because you already spent so much money on that project, you lost money. More information has come out since then that Disney's purchase of Lucasfilm has not made any money. They've not recouped anything that they spent on that. So that means not only have the movies been a failure, but the shows have been a failure. The attraction of the films to Disney Plus has been a failure. Any of the ancillary projects outside of that have been a failure. And why is that the case? Because again, they've been trying to inject identity politics into that franchise, which is a predominantly male audience and a predominantly, we don't want that woke garbage in our content audience. Again, a large portion. So that's why we can see, that's why Go Woke, Go Broke is true. Why do you think the Bud Light boycott worked? Because who are the predominant drinkers of beer? It's mostly guys, right? It's mostly guys who don't want to have that nonsense shoved down their throats and that nonsense being preached to them, right? If you were to have targeted a predominantly, and I'm going to be honest here, predominantly female beverage, something tells me that any boycott would not have been as effective. Barbie, I think, is the one example of why I think that's the case. King and Rumsky at 7:33 says, maybe making a good movie is beyond Alan Ritchson's reacher. Well, that's just the thing, right? It's he's not even the star of the movie. He's just a supporting character. He's not really in the movie that much in comparison to some of the others. Doesn't have a lot going on. He's not bad in the movie either, right? That's the other thing too, is that I am blessed, and I know that not everyone can do this, right? And so that's why I don't go after anyone who can't. But I am one of the few, but it's like, please, I'm not special. I am one that can separate art from the artist in most situations. So I could still watch old school Star Wars and I could see Luke Skywalker and I could think, yeah, that's Luke Skywalker. This Mark Hamill guy, I can't stand. Luke Skywalker's great though. So I can separate that. In this case too, right? When I saw his character, I'm like, oh yeah, it's the character that he plays. This doesn't take away my enjoyment of the show Reacher. It doesn't take away the enjoyment that I had of Ungentlemanly Warfare either. He had some of the funniest lines in the movie, actually. There's a great scene when they go on to, they're pretending to be like a Swedish fishing boat. And so him and Henry Cavill have to put on these like fake Swedish accents. And it's hilarious. Oh, yes, we have to do this. And it's really funny. And Alan Ritchson does one of the accents, and it's very entertaining. Wendy Hunter tagged to say, hello, I liked how you explained on your charts review how much money a film makes will depend on if a franchise continues, i.e. Dune. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I assume that you're talking about how when we talk about profits for a movie, right, making your money back, breaking even is important. Making profits is even better. But if you want to continue a franchise, or at least to justify continuing a franchise, because studios will still do it, right? Studios will still do stupid things. but it makes very little sense to continue a franchise when you don't have enough money to pay for the next thing in your franchise, right? So that's why one of the best examples, I don't think I used this in the charting, but I've used it before, is Mario, right? The Super Mario Brothers movie. That film made, what, $600 million in net profit? So that means it made all of its marketing back, it made all its production budget back, and then add on top of that an extra $600 million. You then have a split between Nintendo and Illumination, right? A split between them and Universal. And so that means that they still get, what, $300 million? Guess what? $300 million, that pays for the production budgets of three more Mario movies at $100 million a pop, which is what the first one cost. Or you could argue it covers the total cost and marketing of the next Mario Brothers movie, and then some. You have some left over. That's what you want to have. That's what a franchise needs in order to thrive, in order to continue, right? In order to justify it. You put in a little money, a lot of money up front, you get a lot returned, and then you can pay it forward. Then you can continue it on. But that's not what the modern blockbusters are doing. The modern blockbusters are costing insane amounts of money, not making their money back, so having massive financial losses, and yet somehow the studios continue to try to push them and justify making more of them. And it can only go so far. You can only add more weight onto the house of cards until eventually it crumbles. But thank you, yeah. Thank you for that. Prince Green, actors' comments rarely cost a movie money. Actors promoting Jurassic World Dominion made all kind of woke comments, and that movie made $1 billion. Prince Green, that's another excellent point. Yes, there are many films that have been successful, but they've had people that have been outspoken. Keep in mind this too, right? Rachel Zegler, she got some nominations and some attention at this year's Raven Awards, right? I believe what it was NPC of the year for her, because that's exactly what she is. She's essentially an NPC, a non-thinking character. And yet, you go to the Hunger Games movies she made. I talked at length about how you compare the Hunger Games, Songbirds and Snakes movie to any other film in the franchise. It's not a good comparison, right? The amount of money made by Songbirds and Snakes was so small in comparison to the rest of the franchise. But what did it do? Cost a little bit less, made enough money to justify its own existence and to make profit. So even with all that crap going on, guess what? It didn't affect that target core audience. The Hunger Games audience doesn't care about what Rachel Zegler says because they either, one, agree with what she says, or two, they don't know about it because most people going to see movies have no idea that this stuff is going on. It's only when you get into very specific franchises, when you get into certain types of content, like for instance, I would say, one of the reasons why Disney is struggling so much is because their brand has gotten so tarnished in the eyes of parents. And so parents have said, I don't trust Disney anymore. And I bring it back all the way to the year of Lightyear, how much of that film was a flop and what was just around that same time, right? What was leading up to that in the months leading up to all that stuff? It was Disney going toe to toe with Ron DeSantis in Florida. This is not getting political, by the way. This is just a statement of fact. They became very vocal in their political outrage against Ron DeSantis and very supportive of things that are too far for most regular everyday people. And so now what do? We say, okay, I associate Disney with that nonsense, with that creepiness. And what has happened as a result? Their films have not done well. When you have Disney Pixar films that are losing money, flopping, when you have the 100-year anniversary film in the film Wish bombing atrociously, there's clearly something going on there. There's clearly an audience that does not want to go out to support your movies. Disney used to have a free pass, right? Anyone would say, oh, it's Disney? Gotta be good. Gotta be worth going to see. Now, Disney? Oh, it's a Disney film? Nah, I don't know. That's gotten out into the public. That's gotten out into that general space. See, Master of Gaming. The real reason Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare flopped is because most audiences don't watch low to mid budgets in theaters. They watch movies like Godzilla X Kong Dune Part 2, Kung Fu Panda 4. I would disagree to an extent, because there have been low budget to mid budget films that have done well. I think last year we saw Sound of Freedom be a great example of that. Now, again, it needed very strong word of mouth. It had a special message to it as well. But we've seen this happen to other films, right? If it's a very good film that has good word of mouth, a manageable budget, guess what? It can still do very well. Whereas the total box office might be higher for the movies you just mentioned, that doesn't mean that they're making money. I've already talked about how if you look at just the numbers themselves, Dune and Godzilla are not massive profit hauls. Dune is making just a little bit of profit at this point. And I've had some even bring up some good points about how there might actually be even more cost to that movie, to the point where it may not have even broken even yet. Now, they bring up some things that I can't really confirm or verify, and so I still go with the basic charting that I use, my random crazy charting method, and the fact that we don't know exactly what the split is for the Chinese Communist Party versus the studio. And so Dune Part 2, we can at least say, though, has been making some money based on that chart. Godzilla X Kong has not broken even yet. It's on the way. It's essentially broken even, as I mentioned in the box office breakdown and the article for GeekyGamers.com and also my video as well. It's essentially broken even. It's going to make profit. It's going to add some more money to it. Those aren't big money makers, though. And then Kung Fu Panda 4, sure, it made money because it cut its cost to $80 million for its budget, roughly $80 million. And you still compare that movie to any other film in the franchise? Not even close. Using actual data, using actual numbers. So that's either comparing the adjusted for inflation numbers or looking at the average ticket prices and how many ticket sales were made for each of those movies. It's night and day, not even close. So yes, we can say that because, and I would say the better argument is, because those films cost so much, the Godzillas, the Dunes, it means that their marketing budgets also cost a lot. So when you have a $200 million film, you're usually putting at least $100 million plus into the marketing for that movie. You have a film like Ministry of, you know, of Ungentlemanly Warfare, that's a $50 million budget or so. That means you're only putting about $25 million into the marketing for that. So that has a bigger thing. To me, the marketing has a much bigger impact. And then you also, again, have that word of mouth. Because word of mouth, as we've known, right, can make or break a movie sometimes. Hedgehobbit. Yeah, it's a tough name. Still a good movie. Thanatos Felicitas. Hello there. See, Master of Gaming. Let's see. Says, it looks like a streaming movie. AKA, it looks like a streaming movie. But what do you mean by it looks like a streaming movie? Like, do you mean based off of the trailers? Do you mean the movie itself? Again, I think that all movies have a very similar look to them. Because I would say, you know what looks like a streaming movie? Godzilla X Kong. That looks like a waste of time and money. You can say, but you want to see the big monsters fighting each other on the big screen. Sure. With your very poorly generated computer images, which could also look fine on a TV screen where you play most of your video games. Just saying. Gary Banjo Sandwich Worthington. Hello, good sir. Says, hello, bro. What's up? Kimberly G., who is a member, says, I hate the title. Reminds me of that Harley Quinn too long title. Yeah, but nothing, of course, has ever gotten that far as length of title. Because that movie is just ridiculous. CM Chunk, even with Reacher's success, there's no way Alan Ritchson is famous enough to significantly impact a movie. Thank you, CM Chunk. Someone else made that point saying, I think most people don't even know who he is or that he was even in the movie. Yes. And I guess I'll try and bring my what I think is a slam dunk evidence about this very thing. So first off, a shout out to Alex over on geeksandgamers.com. He is our fearless leader on the website, and he's been awesome helping me get the box office articles up on the website. And also he willingly took on the sacrifice of having to watch Rebel Moon Part 2 to review it for the website. So again, shout out to you, good sir. But he covered this, right, about the whole Alan Ritchson thing. Sorry, I can't say his name. Not that I care all that much at this point about him because of the stuff that he has. But anyway, before, I think this is in the same vein as like the Instagram stuff. But if anyone's wondering, okay, who is this guy? Why is this relevant? All right. Jack Reacher won't be wearing a MAGA hat anytime soon. In a lengthy interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Reacher star Alan Richson talks a bit about his Christian faith, and his explanation of his stance on Christianity leads him to Donald Trump, whom he doesn't care for. He seems to believe the very worst about Trump and questions how Christians can support him. His comments below. Christians today have become the most vitriolic tribe. It is so antithetical to what Jesus was calling us to be and to do. Trump is a, goodness gracious, a trapist and a con man, and the entire Christian church seems to be treating him like he's their poster child, and it's unreal. I don't understand it. You know what's funny? The thing that I would actually take issue with first there is when he says the entire Christian church. Because it's like, wait, clearly you don't mean the Catholic Church. And if you don't then mean that, you would have to say the many thousands of Christian church denominations. Let's just, again, be fair here. Let's be accurate here. Doesn't sound like he's the most knowledgeable of Christians, since he doesn't seem to know that much about Christianity in general. He seems like one of those persons where it's like, I know who Jesus is, but I really don't know what he said. Oh, these Hollywood types. Alex goes on because he's awesome. He says, and that's fine. I don't begrudge Richson or anyone else for their opinions, and I certainly wouldn't tell anyone how to interpret their faith or let it guide them, as long as they're not hurting anyone. I think the flack over this is most coming from his starring role in Reacher, which is a masculine action series with a traditional lead that conservatives have taken a liking to. Yes. Again, going back to what I said before, when you have franchises that have that predominantly male-driven audience, that also tends to be leaning more towards the conservative side. Guess what? Those are the franchises that will be impacted. So I do think that what you can probably end up seeing is you can probably end up seeing Reacher itself getting impacted. I think that that is definitely something that is potentially, is potentially a possibility here. But something still that needs to, you know, be understood. Sorry, I'm getting blown up here. By something, and I don't know why. A student sent me a message and listed it as urgent, and it's a question about chargers. The kids today. Anyway, Alan Richson's opinions don't take anything away from Reacher. In fact, they make the show even better, since the opinions of one of the key players don't influence it or turn it into something it's not. That's what I want from Hollywood. They don't have to think a certain way, but I'd prefer they don't use the art to preach to me. Amen. As for Richson specifically, as far as I know, he's never attacked people online or anything like that, so long as he doesn't turn himself into an obnoxious lecture machine like a lot of the stars do. And again, I believe he did go on to Instagram and make some comments there as well. He then goes on to say about how apparently Richson has also claimed that Musk has been interfered with the 2022 elections by allowing, quote, misinformation, of course, being anything he disagrees with. His analogy of the poison cups presupposes that we trust the person testing for poison, which is where the analogy falls apart. So again, I do think that Alex does a great job of breaking that down, and I would agree, right? I separate the art from the artist. This does not really impact how I feel about the film or the show Reacher, but will that impact the audience for Reacher? I do think it will. To what degree? I don't know. So that is the information on Richson. Now let's get into a bit about this actual movie, all right? So The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, it's a terrible title, I agree, so far has made around $8.9 million at the domestic box office, okay? So around $9.4 million, just had to update it. There we go, gotta be accurate. $9.4 million according to the numbers as of this stream. Now, some people have said, oh, that's terrible because the film cost around, what, $50, $60 million or so? The issue, though, is that they're now saying also, oh, well, it only failed and it's primarily failing, or it's, you know, a huge portion of why it's failing is because of what Richson said, right? He's isolated half of his audience with his comments about Trump. He's isolated half of his audience because of all of the vitriolic things he said. There's a big problem with that. If you actually look at the data for Guy Ritchie movies, and again, this is a Guy Ritchie movie. He has a very specific style. He also has an audience that will show up to his movies or won't show up to his movies. The problem is that this actually is the most successful Guy Ritchie opening that we've seen in the last couple of years. Oops. Uh-oh. Seems to go against the narrative. So let's get into it, okay? Now, I do have The Gentleman up here as a comparison, because The Gentleman really is the most successful thing he's done recently, right? And even that one, right? I love The Gentleman. It was my favorite movie of 2020. It's a phenomenal movie, right? That film made only $133 million worldwide. So, again, for a $25 million production budgeted movie, and again, these are adjusted numbers for inflation, that is pretty good. Let's go ahead and get the actuals for a second, just to also give you a better understanding. A $22 million budget, making only about $113. So at the time, a little over $100 million worldwide. That was his most successful film since 2020, all right? So just to give you that bit of framework. All right, let's go to his next movies, all right? We have Operation Fortune from last year. Great movie. Really big fan of it. $3.1 million opening weekend. Okay. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I don't know why this student had to put urgent on this message. It's incredibly annoying. And it's going to cause some problems. My goodness. Apologies, everybody. Let me just put that on do not disturb. Okay. Have to deal with that later. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre. Cost around $50 million. Only opened to $3.1 million, though, back in 2023. Guy Ritchie's The Covenant came out the same year, only a month later. Guess what? It opened up to $6.3 million. Guess what the Ministry of Ungenly Warfare opened up to domestically? $8.9 million. So, if we were going to honestly say that the whole Guy Ritchie's, like the whole, sorry, Alan Ritchie comment made any major impact, we wouldn't be seeing this film have a better opening weekend than The Covenant, better opening weekend than Operation Fortune, and only losing to The Gentleman. And let's just be honest here, The Gentleman had a lot of other things going on for it, specifically the fact that you have a great cast. A cast, in fact, that features, all right, Mr. Matthew McConaughey. In addition to a pretty good marketing team, marketing ploy, and a year of terrible movies. Again, January 2020. That's, again, impressive. 2019, I believe, is the official date that it was released. But again, a lot of stuff going on at that time. Almost getting into the COVID time, right? And yet it only made $133 million. So this Ministry of Ungenly Warfare opening up stronger. Now let's go to the actual day-to-day numbers here, okay? So you go to the day-to-days, guess what? Every single day, it is beating out those other two movies. Okay? Same point of release, first Monday, 9.4 to 6.9 to 3.3. What was the first Monday of Operation Fortune? $258,000. The first Monday for The Covenant, $542,000. $583,000 for the first Monday for the Ministry of Ungenly Warfare. All right? So, this is the key factor, right? And this, to me, shows you, without a shadow of a doubt, why anyone trying to argue that the comments made by Alan Ritchson made any difference in the box office. Because if that were true, you would not see this film doing better than the last two Guy Ritchie movies. I rest my case. There's lots of other things you can say, but to me, that is easily the most clear. By far. All right. Forever Sci-Fi, who is a member, says, now we can have Jeremy on double secret probation for Shill of the Year all year long. There you go. If that's what you want to do, that's exactly what you can do. J.S. Pena, what's going on? Hail to you. Let's see. King Gain Rumsky says, is that Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire and Dr. Octopus? If so, good flick. I believe it was. I think it was an anniversary. Prince Green, I'll be curious to see how the re-release of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies will do. People enjoy them, but there's no nostalgia there. Except for No Way Home, because that's all nostalgia. So I would disagree at least on that point, but that's also an outlier, I guess we could say. Let's see. Luke Zilla. Thoughts on the new Deadpool 3 and Transformers 1 trailers. Transformers 1 looks stupid. Deadpool 3 looks like a lot of fun. War Gamer Girl, welcome. Gary Banjo Sandwich Worthington says, Richie is awesome in the UK and has a cult following. No casuals. Yeah, I think The Gentleman might have been one of the last ones for him that actually was able to broaden out a little bit in its audience. So, yeah, in general, though, I would definitely say and definitely agree, though I will argue that his films aren't huge in the UK box office wise, because they typically are topping out, from what I remember looking at, around like, what, $14, $15 million. So again, I think that's towards the higher end of most general UK releases, but they're also, again, not, you know, bringing crazy amounts of money home. See, Michael Bramer, what's going on? Welcome. Tina B, what is going on? Tina B says, hello, gang. Goodbye, gang. And screw off going to the movies. Quit spending your money on people that hate your guts. But there are still good movies that are being released. And there are many in Hollywood that don't hate my guts. So I will continue to see movies, and there are many others who will continue to watch them as well. I'm sure that there's also a lot of classic films that we still enjoy that had people that would have hated our guts today. So that's not enough reason for me, but always appreciate you coming in, Tina. The Empress of the Universe. All right, let's see. Orange Hat, who's a member, says, the official trailer for Deadpool 3 actually interested me, but I'm still worried that it's still going to come, it's still going to be a scam, baiting people to support it and giving Disney enough money to feel vindicated. Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to happen no matter what, though. Remember, most people don't really have an idea of the stuff going on. Now, I do think more people know this time around because, one, the box office seems to indicate that, and also, once you start to get your controversies or your dirty laundry, or whatever word you want to use for it, when South Park picks it up, is what I'm trying to say. And South Park did pick it up with Kathleen Kennedy and everything. Guess what? That's going to bring it to a lot of people's attention, right? So I think that, yeah, you could end up seeing it have that potential result, but or at least the fact that most people going to see the film are going to be a lot more aware with what's going on with Disney, what's been going on with Disney and stuff. But that, I think, is actually kind of what they're going for. If you were paying attention to the trailer, at the very end, there is a Kevin Feige comment, right? Because isn't it the comment where he makes about Feige? It's like, that's the one thing Feige said we couldn't do, or something to that effect. Or it was either a Feige or Iger comment. I think it was Feige. So again, it's that type of same self-referential stuff. I think that is what's going to make people think, oh, he's going to totally roast Disney. He's going to totally roast MCU and everything. So I think that enough of the normies are going to be, as you said, potentially tricked. We don't know. Now, the early indication is that this is Ryan Reynolds' movie, that he had a lot of creative control over this. And if that is true, awesome. I know that there are other people that are very diehard anti-Disney, which I totally understand. But at the end of the day, if this movie makes money, that does not take away the hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars lost by every other Marvel product and every other Disney product the last few years. And let's be frank. If we think that them getting a lot of money for Deadpool is going to send them the wrong message, and so it'll indicate for them to not change, why wouldn't the myriad of flops have not had the same impact telling them to change? It's not like they were going to be changing anytime soon. I mean, at the point we were reaching, it was like, okay, you had an entire year, entire calendar year in 2023 where you were operating at a massive loss, hundreds of millions of dollars lost for all your movies combined in 2023. I don't think a company that has that kind of bottom line is going to have had their mind changed one way or the other because Deadpool 3 does well. So that's the one thing I would say. Kimberly G, I'm going to get Jeremy Johns Gary's review before I spend money at the theater. Oh, yeah. And obviously, I would say Critical Drinker should be your go-to more than anyone else. Johns is great because Johns gets it out early. He's also a regular everyday guy. Again, he saw Ministry of Angelic Warfare, thought it was fine. And I said it was fine, a good time, no alcohol required, and I would generally agree with that. And then he rightfully called out Rebel Moon Part 2 as dog crap. So he's one of the very few trustworthy guys left. He's not perfect, but he's definitely trustworthy. And then I would also say for sure, Critical Drinker, the issue with Critical Drinker is that he's not always going to have it out as early as someone like a Jeremy Johns. Jeremy Johns clearly has an in with getting screeners or getting to screenings and things, and so he's more likely to get those early reviews in, whereas Drinker, he is usually seeing movies very early, so you can find out usually within the first week, first weekend even, if something's going on. But all right, let's see. Print screen, trying to say, if movie theaters go away, would it be more like 5 to 10 years or 10 to 20 years? I'm probably going to lean 10 to 20. And the reason why is because theaters are a very interesting commodity, because my market, right, where I live, the theaters really aren't doing that well. The only screens that really tend to sell are IMAX and premium format screens. And yet, I know as a fact that in New Orleans, because I was in town, you know, for Christmas and for Easter. And so I was looking into some of the screens. There were screens selling out at times that I haven't seen a sellout in a long time, even over a weekend. So the market share, depending on where you live, is going to be different. So there are still some markets, there are still some cities that have very, very high volumes of moviegoers. There are also many that don't. And I think that what we're seeing is that some of the lower shared markets, some of the lower volume markets, have seen tremendous decreases and have not recovered. I think that's where we are with that. And I think what we've seen is some of the high volume markets have seen dramatic decreases. Some have stayed about the same. And again, because this typically this is how things go, because there's certain waves and stuff, I would be surprised if there's some markets that have seen increases too. But that's the other thing we have to be careful of, is because we have that bias of our own hometown, because we think, oh, my hometown's not doing well. It's like, yeah, that might be true. That does not mean that that's the case everywhere. Rob D, in regards to this Inside Out 2 and Pixar, I honestly think Pixar will never recover from the box office disaster of Lightyear and the 2 years of Disney dumping their films on Disney Plus. Yeah, and I think it has less to do with Disney Plus and more so to do with just the disaster that their movies have been. And you know, obviously the ticket prices don't help, but keep in mind, people have been going out to see the Illumination films. People have been going out to see the Universal animated films. So we can argue about Disney Plus and then putting them things in the streaming services and that being an indicator as to why they're not doing well. The issue, though, is that other animated films have not had a similar hit. And I think that a bigger reason as to why is, one, quality of movies, but also the perception. I think public perception of Disney has been the biggest cost to them financially. And again, if you have a comment or question you want highlighted or you want read, just put @Odin at the very beginning of your comment, unless you are a member. Also, of course, you can super chat, donate via Streamlabs to circumvent the YouTube people, so that way they don't get a cut of anything. You could do any of those things also to get your comment highlighted. But no paywalls here. You know, we don't hide that. Remember, Sci-Fi, who's a member, though, says, between the strikes and lockdowns, it's a miracle that any theater still exists. Just look at how many empty stores are in the mini malls. Very true. But I think it's not as surprising when you remember the bailouts. A lot of these businesses were bailed out. Theaters were a part of it. And so I think that we have to keep that in mind. Whereas a lot of the outlets and a lot of the malls, they didn't get a lot of that COVID money. They didn't get a lot of that bailout money. And so that's why you have so many empty malls. And those are really sad too, right? Because obviously the era of malls is kind of past, but it's also a sad thing, right? Because I remember going to, when I was growing up, one of the theaters, it's still there. It's still a very active mall, in fact. It's one of the very few that seem to be doing well. It's down in Louisiana. It's called Clearview Mall. And there's an AMC Clearview, a 12 screen Clearview. It transitioned to a dine-in theater, actually, before we ended up leaving to move here to Tennessee. And so they have tons of things in there. Now, they've also gone through some turnaround too, though, right? Because as a mall, they have a lot of these stores. There's like a Target and stuff. But I remember there used to be a place called Summer Nights, and it was this little locally owned business in the food court. So whereas in some of the malls, you see the death of the malls with all the store closures, the ones that are successful, even like that one, right? Because that one has some very heavy traffic. Even with the heavy traffic, though, the death in a successful mall is not seen in store closures. It's seen in food court closures. I don't know if anyone else has noticed this. Because once Summer Nights closed, and it was amazing because you could get for $1. And again, this shows you high school. So, of course, this is going to be something I'm drawn to. For $1, you could get 3 pizza bites They just put pizza bagel bites in a microwave, heat them up for you, and it'd be like, this is delicious. $1 for 3 bagel bites. I'll take it. I know cost to whatever is probably terrible, but it was delicious. And then you could get a chocolate chip cookie that they would also microwave, so it'd be warm and melty for about 50 cents. Oh, that I went to that place a lot. That was one of my go-tos. Loved it. So many great memories there inside of a mall. Closed. And every time I've gone back, it's been like, oh, that place closed, that place closed. Like, all the food court places are closing. And there's only a couple that have actually stuck it out. There's like a Greek restaurant that was a later addition, but it's had a life after it was made. Anyway, Nadia, what's going on, Nadia? Shout out to Nadia. Hail to you. Thank you very much for being here. Prince Green, before you know it, people won't even leave the house anymore. That is, I think, a very terrifying prospect. The prospect of AI technology, more so than anything else, though, is the era that we're moving into when it comes to the AR technology, right, with the headsets and stuff. Because I look at some of the things that they're doing now, and all I can think of is Ready Player One. How far are we from that? I don't think very far. And one of the terrifying things about Ready Player One is that you have people living alone in isolation where all they have is their little AR suit. They enter into the digital world. They have their own identity. They can change that. They can be whoever they want to be. It's a safe space for them. It's all this. It's not real. It's fake. As Forever Sci-Fi says, the cake is a lie. Cake is a lie. Haven't heard that in a while. Let's see, Prince Green. What we need is another Christopher Nolan movie. Oppenheimer make over $900 million is no joke. It's very true, but keep in mind that there are so many reasons to why that film made $900 million. And we can't ignore the Barbenheimer effect. We really can't. Wendy Hunter tried to say, how is Disney still operating with all their losses? That's a great question. I honestly don't know. The only good answer, and it is a good one, is their theme parks. Their theme parks bring in a ton of money. I don't know if they're bringing in as much as they once did, but they overcharge tremendously for their tickets. And you think about how much they get from the food at the parks. You think about everything associated with it, right? You spend a lot of money now. And now, especially, they got rid of their fast passes for the magic bands, and you got to pay for the magic bands, I think. So it's a lot more cost just to go to Disney now. So their parks are where they're making a bank, right? They're making a boatload of money still, I believe. So they're making enough to be able to make up for a lot of these losses. Again, they're a huge company. So they have a lot of other revenue streams, tons of revenue streams. Master Gaming says, Henry Cavill is in Argyle and the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and both flopped. Now, people on Twitter would say, well, that's because, you know, Alan Ritchson is in, you know, Ungentlemanly Warfare, and so that's why that film flopped. It's like, no. Right. People love Henry Cavill. That's a great point to make, though. Right. If actors determine whether something makes money or not, there's a lot of people that love Henry Cavill, but no one was going out of their way to go see Argyle because of him in any serious way. That film didn't do well. Same also happening for Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And guess what? He did pretty well in the movie. Ryan Liu, are you hyped for Deadpool and Wolverine? I think that the trailer is good. I wouldn't say I'm hyped because I have so many reservations with Disney. My hope is that it's a one-off. It's this isolated event movie that's got Ryan Reynolds all over it, and it's a good time. And that's all I want it to be. And if they try to make it into anything else, guess what? They can try. But if they're going to say, oh, we're building up the next part of the cinematic universe, I'm going to say, okay, yeah, so unless it's another film in which Deadpool is heavily featured and Ryan Reynolds has a heavy voice in, I'm not going to have any interest because that's the only reason why that movie is going to work. The reason why Deadpool is going to work is because of Ryan Reynolds. You have no Ryan Reynolds, you don't have Deadpool, you do not have the only potential good news Disney has this year at the box office. Some might argue there's potential for the upcoming film, you know, the upcoming Pixar film. Sorry, my mind is blanking as my mind slowly dies a slow and painful death as the tiredness of the day sets in. But Inside Out 2, sorry, that was the name I was looking for. Inside Out 2. they have a chance for Inside Out 2, but based off of their record, their Disney animation projects, their Pixar projects even, I mean, you look to last year, even Elemental, which is not a terrible movie, but it's not great either. That film didn't make much of anything. It definitely did better after the fact, you know, down the line, down the stretch, a lot better. It still wasn't enough. So, yeah. I thought Inside Out 1 was great, though. I really enjoyed Inside Out 1. I don't want it to, though. Snow Golem, 13 over on Odyssey. What's going on? Hail to you. Let's see. Jeremy Zakowski. Sorry, Shen Hong. What's going on, Shen Hong? Hail to you again. Jeremy Zakowski, though, says, don't forget Godzilla Minus 1 also had a low budget, and if it had strong word of mouth, also still playing in Japan right now. Yeah, absolutely. And even Godzilla Minus 1 still didn't make a lot of money. Didn't make a boatload of money. Comparative to its budget, absolutely. But as an individual film, still didn't make a huge portion, right? Didn't make a huge amount. And yeah, you're right. Had a great word of mouth. And I mentioned the thing that held that film back was the fact, unfortunately, it makes me very sad, with American audiences, the unfortunate thing is that it was a foreign language movie that had subtitles. And there's a lot of people that don't want to see it, even people in this chat. And I still love you. I judge you heavily for it, but I still love you nonetheless. The people who are like, I don't want to watch a movie that I have to read. Anyway. All right. Let's see. All right, let me go ahead and take care of this member comment from Matt317. What's up, brother? Thanks for being a month for 29 months in a row. Hail to you, good sir. He says, hey, Odin, highly recommend Spy X Family Code White. Great movie on its own. Equal parts action-packed, funny, cute, wholesome. Nice. Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate that. And I know that it is indeed an anime. It says, anime would like to have some words. Huh. I think that was in reference to the people who don't like to read. Yes. As you all know, I am Team Subtitle all the way. I do like anime dubs usually. Live action dubs don't really work usually. The anime dubs are usually pretty good. It all depends on the voice acting. So I think about Dragon Ball Z. Love the American dub, the English dub of Dragon Ball Z. But yes, absolutely. But glad to hear that film is good. Glad to hear it. All right, Steven says, now that trailer 2 came out for Deadpool and Wolverine, do you see this movie being the first film to hit $1 billion for 2024, or any film for that matter? Again, I still have to have a lot of reservations about the prospects of this movie making $1 billion, let alone, you know, really any film. I think, yeah, that's a very good point to bring up. And again, I don't have a list of all the films coming out this year because so many films have been moved. So I cannot think of one on top of my head that has a chance at $1 billion. I think Deadpool probably has one of the better chances of all the films set to come out. I would say your mind and your eyes would have to probably go to summer, because that's just in general when audiences have just more time to go see movies. But I have to go back to, why do I have my doubts? And again, part of this logic that I'm using right now is indeed also part of what led to me being wrong about the Super Mario Brothers movie. So for all you know, that this could end up, and this could end up being, hey, well, this means that it has to make $1 billion. Again, I still would say probably not. But it really comes down to these metrics right here. Okay. So let me get this off the screen for a second. So why do I think Deadpool 3 won't make $1 billion? All right. So first, let's go ahead and let's do the actuals for a second. So let's look at the first two Deadpool movies, okay? Deadpool 1 made $781 million at the box office in 2016. 2 years later, $786 million at the box office. All right, domestic opening weekend, $132 million for the first film, actually went down in the second film for $125 million. Total domestic was $363 for Deadpool 1, actually went only to $324 for Deadpool 2. So it actually went down domestically, right? Let's see, Deadpool 2016, $452 million international. Oh, sorry, that's the adjusted numbers. At first I was like, wait a minute, that math doesn't add up. Those are the adjusted numbers. So international, 418 to 461. So Deadpool 2 increased its international footprint, but decreased its domestic. So that means that right now that franchise is trending downwards. Now the difference, it's been a lot longer. Right, that was just 2 years separating that. Deadpool 2 was fine. It was fun. Deadpool, I think, is still a better film. The first Deadpool. And I know that there's people that disagree with that. But keep in mind, they made roughly the same amount of money, and Deadpool 2 cost twice as much. All right? That typically isn't a good thing when you're spending more money, but you're not making anything more. Now, let's adjust the numbers for inflation. So that's $974 million adjusted versus 2018's $930 million. So neither film, even when adjusted for inflation, made $1 billion. We live in an era where movies today, even successful ones, Kung Fu Panda 4, for instance, are doing well, making money based on their budgets, but they're not getting anywhere close to previous films in the franchise. So as great as I do think Deadpool 3 is going to do, I do think it has a ceiling, and I think that ceiling is going to be well below $1 billion. If you had to ask me right now, I wouldn't be surprised to see it $600 to $850 million. That's a long range, but again, it's a long ways before the film comes out. It's going to be here before you know it, but it's still a ways out at this point. So that is why I don't think it's going to make $1 billion. But again, a part of that is because of historical reasons. The neither film in the franchise got to $1 billion, right? Well below $1 billion in both cases. When you look at the unadjusted numbers, the adjusted numbers still below $1 billion, comfortably, right? Not even like barely close. So I do think that is good reason to suspect that it won't happen. Steven says, sucks you weren't at the Vegas meetup with the other gang. Any chance you'll go next Vegas trip? I feel like you've asked me that before, Steven. So I'll say what I always say when I get this question. So no, ultimately, I will never be able to make that specific meetup, at least not anytime in the next several years. And there's two major reasons. One, I have a full-time job. I'm not taking off work during the middle of the week, during the month of April. It's not something I can really do. Again, could I do it? Sure. Would it be a good idea to do it? No. Secondly, and really more importantly, I got two kids who are in precious years, right? One who's 6 months, who's actually, she just turned 7 months. Wow. Crazy. My goodness. And a little toddler who's 3.5. Okay. So to leave my wife for any length of time is already a difficult thing, let alone during the middle of the week, okay? And also during April when no one's off from work that can help, you know, can come by to help, et cetera, right? Even with retired parents, that's not an easy time to come. It's easier to come on a weekend or something to that effect, okay? And then the third reason is distance. It's a very far ways away from me. It's not drivable for me. I try and do the Dallas trip every year when I can, and that's like at the very peak of my driving distance. It's 11 hours for me, and I know I could fly, but that increases the cost. And again, feasibly, there's just no way I'm going to be able to ever make the Vegas trip. So, but anything in Tennessee, I think I'm going to try to make it out. There's a Comic-Con in Knoxville that I believe Force of Light Entertainment's going to. I think Gina Carano is going to be there as well. So I think Carrie Smith said that maybe she was going to that one. I don't know for sure. I'm going to be on her channel tomorrow for our Christian show, that Christian panel tomorrow. Check it out. Should be a really good time, as it always is. But so other than that, and then the Dallas meetup and then the Orlando meetup, those are the only ones that I could ever feasibly do. And even the Dallas meetup can never be guaranteed because of all the other reasons that I just mentioned. Because that'll be summertime, but again, it can be tough. The benefit of that is that it's going to be typically on the weekend, and it's easier for me to say, okay, I'm going to leave on, you know, Thursday evening, you know, or I'm going to leave Friday morning, and that way not have to leave the wife alone with the kids for too long. But again, those are not always guaranteed either, because family comes first, always. All right, Laura, hello from Disneyland. Hello, Laura. Enjoy your time. She's the reason why Disney's not failing. Blame Laura, everybody. Blame Shorty Short. Steven says, do you think Henry Cavill is too old to play James Bond? Because he thinks he is. I'm not a James Bond expert by any means, but I personally would say no. Prince Green says, as a Protestant, Trump is nothing more than a political politician. To me, certainly not a poster child. Agreed. And again, I'm not the biggest Trump fan. There's a lot of things he does that very much goes against my Christian sensibilities. There's a whole other slew of reasons as to why I would prefer him to anyone else that's currently in the race, or rather in a one versus one matchup between Joe Biden. A big part of that, of course, is one of them supports abortion. Unfortunately, Trump does support abortion. And in the other case, you have someone who claims to be Catholic who supports it in a lot more cases. In fact, has no restrictions or wants no restrictions on it whatsoever. Okay, that's going to make a difference for me. It's a pretty big one. See, Laura says, I think Alan is newly converted Christian. Yeah, and I think that comment that they make shows. Okay, I love my chat. Hey, Clulu, the Charger is a nice looking car, but really, it's much better without all the electronics. Oh, man. No, it's because I, as you all know, obviously I am very tech, you know, savvy. I'm not perfect in it, but I am more tech savvy than a lot of other people. And so because of that, I bought a bunch of chargers to make sure that no student could ever claim, oh, my computer's dead, so I can't do the work. It's like, aha, he has a charger. Take that. Of course, that becomes a moot point when people start taking the chargers, not returning them. And it, so this is a student who's trying to finally return it. It went missing first semester. At least they're trying now, even though they also claimed that they already had it and were waiting on it in the mail. It's not good to lie. Prince Green, who is a member, says, yeah, separate art from the artist. Tom Cruise is a Scientologist, but his movies are great. Yep. Shen Hong over on Rumble says, the movie industry now has to fight the new habits it's created. That's a good point. Used to look for movies to see on the weekend. Used to plan on it. Now rarely think of it. It started doing other things on my weekend. Yeah, the habits were broken for sure. Prices have gone up too. Tyler Blevins, what's going on? Rob D, regarding Operation Fortune, that movie didn't get a lot of promotion and it was shelved for about 2 years because they didn't want to release it in light of the Ukraine war, Ukrainian villains. Yep. Still, again, we look at those two movies and think this film's still doing a lot better by vast amounts. Laura says, people who are always on social media never seem to realize how very few people follow anti-woke social media. Agreed. I fall into this trap sometimes, too. We sometimes fall into these bubbles. You've got to be very careful with that. It's also true of from a Catholic position, right? I'm a very, as you all know, I'm a very traditional Catholic. And so sometimes in my head, I think, oh, man, so many people got to feel this way, right? And yet the vast majority of people are going to the Novus Ordo. Right, the regular form of the mass, the normal form of the mass, the ordinary form of the mass. And for me, I'm like, how do y'all not see all the problems and all the issues going on? Because most people have, I guess, what, normalcy bias? Wendy, where I live, there's a local theater that shows movies for only $5. Of course, the theater isn't luxurious or stylish. $5 to see a movie. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I think that $5 is well worth it, for sure. I think a lot of people have those. Hardwick, the more I think about it, the more I think that Guy Ritchie is basically a slightly better Zack Snyder. They're both style over substance with flashy zoom-ins, dude bro sensibilities, etc. Bro, if you're going to honestly say that Guy Ritchie is in any way close to Zack Snyder as far as style or as far as capabilities, you are smoking something. I would take 1,000 Gentlemen Warfares any day over anything Snyder has done ever in his career. It's not even close. It's a terrible comparison. Shen Hong, Iger started the mess at Disney. They doubled down on it when they brought him back. Agreed. Abomination, I just saw Disproves Rebel Moon Part 2, Scargiver Review, Part 1 and Part 2. That boy has a special set of skills to take absolute garbage and make something entertaining from it. He does. King and Rumsky, maybe hold your 500th in a mall with cake? Oh, that's good. All right, we're going to start to wrap things up here. So, Prince Green, the mall nearest to me is a ghost town. Walking in there is depressing. You either get sad about the mall fading away or worry about something jumping out at you. Yeah, zombie apocalypse style, right? See, Happy Cat Productions. This is Happy Cat Productions. I'm conflicted with your recommendation of The Critical Drinker. Not sure if I would want to let someone in constant indulgence penetrate my mental palace. Jesus in there. Aha, I see. Oh, man. See, Wendy Hunter says, I have the same thing with the mall in my town, which is my hometown. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a character, bro. It's more of a character. Abomination, talking about Disney, says, I assume the parks and investors probably reason as to why they are hanging around. Yeah. Absolutely. Me and my monkey. Well, hello to you. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Shen Hong, those darn YouTubers. They will rue this day. Coliseum Builders, what's up, brother? Disney certainly relies on OPM for their films, so they probably don't lose that much from box office disasters. Yeah, again, I think that the big problem is that they have just seen losses in every single area. And because so many of their things are going straight to... because they are going straight to the streaming services these days and they're feeding it to themselves, they're not making the same type of money that they were making before, right? Not making the same that they were making before. All right. Let us see. Icthulhu says, anime dubs, you Philistine. God shall shun thee. Again, I do prefer the original Japanese. Again, I'm team subtitle all the way. But obviously, there are some times when I just want to be able to enjoy the animation, and that does require... And again, there has to be good voice acting. I mentioned this before. Suzume is a phenomenal movie, but part of what made Suzume a harder film to watch last year was the fact that the English voice actor they had to voice Suzume was not good at all. It really took away from the character. Matthew17 says, in the case of Spy X Family subs, especially the Japanese voice for Anya is adorable. We were Noodle. Hail chat. Sorry I'm late. No problem. Andrew Hayes, also full team subtitle, helps hearing impaired people out. Absolutely. Luzilla, wasn't the Aladdin remake the bigger opening for Guy Ritchie? Probably, but I definitely left that out because the film, box office-wise, in the long run, did not do well, based off of the budget, especially. And I would argue of whether or not it's even a Guy Ritchie movie. See, Abomination, you don't have to worry about being wrong again unless you bet some pineapple on pizza again, but you're sure. That's a good point. It is definitely a good point. Sorry, I'm just going to take care of some things in the chat because I'm pretty sure we had some students in the chat. So hopefully I took care of them. And if that was y'all, you know better. Especially when you use similar names during class games. Let's see. Icthulhu said, Deadpool 1 was budgeted at a loss. It costs far, far more, around $100 million. CGI was done for free, basically. Budgeted at a loss. I don't know what you mean by that, because it definitely made money. Hardwick, Henry Cavill has dedicated fans, but I don't think he has all that many in the grand scheme of things. I think the average audience member sees him as bland and forgettable, Sam Worthington 2.0. I wouldn't go that far. The only thing in your comment that to me makes any sense and that I would agree with is that he does have dedicated fans and that it is not everybody, for sure. Absolutely. Let's see. Hardwick says, Alan Ritchson has been making Sunday sermon videos for years. In large percentage of the sermons, he implies that supporting socialism seems to be true Christian. And that would not only be completely incorrect, but also would very much oppose direct Catholic social teaching, which very clearly has always condemned socialism for the primary reason that socialism denies the right to private property, which is innate into the dignity of the human person. You're welcome. All right, Wendy Hunter, you have a good night as well. Indeed, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up because I need some ice cream and probably need to lay the hammer down on on some of these people causing issues. Anyway, so Wendy Hunter, thank you for being here. It's been also a great stream as usual. So obviously, talking about all this controversy going on social media, the big takeaway is, I'm sorry, no matter what you try to argue, the comments made by Alan Ritchson, whether you agree with him or not, again, it's not making any major difference whatsoever in the box office results for the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. If you just look to how the typical film from Guy Ritchie does, there is almost no difference in that. If you looked at some of the early tracking for the movie, it did not have a major difference in the tracking. And you add all these things together, and all you can get is that the film is doing about what you would typically expect, right? What you would typically expect from a film like this, and it has nothing to do with that. So hopefully this has now shown that to be the case. Hopefully now it is no longer a question, and hopefully it is something that is making a lot more sense now. We also talked, of course, about other things related to the box office, but if you want to see more conversations about the box office, again, check me out over at geeksandgamers.com, where I write the box office breakdown articles over there. Again, I do have a midweek article expected to come out, if I had to guess, tomorrow, probably more so Thursday, because I need to actually write it first, but I know what it is, and I've got the article already with me. But talking about how Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, oh boy, cost a lot more money than was originally anticipated, and therefore lost a lot more money than originally anticipated, meaning the total loss for Disney just went up by a good $100 million plus. Yeah, yikes. Not a good thing for them whatsoever. So if you want to hear about that again, just go ahead and follow me over on geeksandgamers.com to look for those articles. Anyway, we talked about a lot of things tonight. Let me go ahead and just say hello. Goodbye to some people in the chat. If I find my mouse, there it is. Hardwick, thoughts on King Kong 1933. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I honestly don't remember that much about it. I guess it's fine for the time, but it's one of those movies also that I don't really go back to. Again, I appreciate for what it was, but it's not, to me, a film that I want to rewatch, to be honest. The Glackener, what's going on, The Glackener? Been a while, dude. Welcome. Gulag, not too wicked, too. Prince Green, you have a good night. Cthulhu, you have a good one. Bloody hell, I'm late, says The Glackener. Yes, you are. Always keep up the grand job. Oh, and thank you. Appreciate that, Glackener. Movie stars are dead. Agreed. Send condolences to Gary. Wait, what? What happened to Gary? Did Gary have a puppy? And what? Oh, Gary's dog died? Oh, no. Well, rest in peace. I didn't realize that he even had a dog. Because every time we're on screen, right, we always see X-Ray Girl's dogs, and then my dogs will make an appearance, and then Chrissy has dogs, too. I actually didn't know. Absolutely. Very sad to hear that. It's never easy when we lose a pet. So absolutely, we'll be praying for Gary especially, because I know that can't be easy. All right, people need to get over it. Yeah, about the whole debate for sure. Dune still not doing too bad in my tiny country. Glad to hear that. 3 o'clock in the Netherlands. Well, hello from the Netherlands. It's okay, Glackener. Yeah, and again, we're wrapping things up here. Matt317, have a good night. Little Parker, that's sad. Let's see, Abomination, yeah, very, very sad. Unless Gary had a new dog that knocked down half his collection. Okay. I guess we just never saw it a whole lot, so that's why you always forget about it. So anyway, that is going to be it for me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You all have a wonderful rest of your evening. Next thing coming up would be, Friday Night Tights and ArcoGeeksGamers.com. And stay tuned for more. Follow me on social medias and stay tuned to the channel for more. I hope to do a box office preview this week. However, Box Office Pro has been letting me down quite a bit, so we'll have to wait and see. And this weekend, not looking to be that different than the last weekend, if we're going to be perfectly honest. So anyway, you guys are all amazing. Beautiful people, have a wonderful rest of your evening. A blessed Easter. We are still in the season of Easter, everybody. And as always, God bless.